Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mike Thompson, sitting in for Ann today. Payday lenders charging extremely high interest rates were supposed to be a thing of the past in Ohio. Voters approved a law that would cap yearly interest rates at 28%, much lower than the up to 400% interest rate that lenders were charging prior to the November 2008 vote. 2 years later, while many lenders have closed up shop, others changed their practices and are now charging high fees, resulting in continued high costs for short-term loans. State lawmakers are trying to close some of those loopholes. And joining us to talk about the legislation and the issue of access to credit for low-income folks is Ray Miller, Democrat state senator from Columbus, who supports closing the loopholes and supports legislation working its way through the House and Senate. Senator Miller, welcome to All Sides on WOSU. And also State Rep Bill Coley of Westchester, suburban Cincinnati. He voted against the House bill, which came up just a week or so ago. Bill Coley, welcome to All Sides on WOSU.
Good morning, Mike.
Bill, we'll start with you. What's going on in the short-term loan industry in Ohio? What impact has the November 2008 bill had on this industry, and what impact has it had on borrowers?
Well, Mike, as you correctly pointed out, I mean, the voters of Ohio and the legislature decided to put the payday lending industry out of business back in 2007, 2008, and that was accomplished. From the floor of the House of Representatives, we told the people that were in that business that they might want to look at going into the Second Mortgage or Small Loan Act, to an act that's been in existence since I think the 1960s. We told them that if they wanted to proceed and pursue business under that act, that they could do that. And that was told them during the House debate on the bill, and they did that. And so the loophole, as you want to call it, the loophole was not much of a loophole when you tell them right from the floor of the House that go do business under that law. And that's the ones that did not close. They changed their licensing and started doing business under the Small Loan Act or the Second Mortgage Act.
292-8513. If you'd like to join in our discussion, 292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. So is it better than the 400% rates that folks were being charged, the annual rates folks were being charged 3 years ago, 2 years ago?
Well, Mike, I think looking at percentage rates, I mean, that's when we were on the floor of the House, I said, golly, what if you were renting a single room apartment for, you know, that didn't even have a kitchen for $14,235 a year? I mean, you know, it sounds outrageous, but when you look at, you know, the low-cost hotels at $39 a night, that's what it equals. So I think talking about annual percentage rate, the thing I like to focus on, somebody of limited means, you know, a single parent who's out there trying to make things happen and you know, socking a little bit out of each paycheck and keeping that in reserve, but then they have a major calamity happen, you know, blow transmission, a huge expense that was unbudgeted for. And when that happens, we want to make sure that those people have options. Now, the intent of the legislature at that time was, to, you know, 2-3 years ago, was to put the payday lenders out of business, but to allow people of limited means access to credit through the other laws in the state of Ohio. By shutting that down, you take something that, you know, let's say that they were to look at a scenario where they didn't have enough money to make their $200 tax payment as well as pay for the transmission in the car. They have to pay for the transmission of the car or they can't get to work. And if they don't pay if they bounce the check to the state of Ohio, they get a $35 bounce check fee from their bank in addition to a $50 bounce check fee from the state of Ohio. So paying $16 to $27 to a Small Loan Act lender makes perfect economic sense versus paying $85 in bounce check fees to the state and their bank.
Let's try to bring in Senator Ray Miller from Columbus. Senator Miller, thanks for joining us on All Sides with Ann Fisher.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be with you this morning.
You have a different take on this. How has the payday lending industry changed in Ohio since voters approved the law back in 2008?
Even before then, actually. I introduced a bill in 1992 that would limit the fees on the check cashing industry. And then a few years later, they added this payday lending provision when I was not a member of the General Assembly. I believe it was my colleague, Democratic colleague from Montgomery County, former Representative Ryan McClain, that introduced the bill that extended the law to allow people to get these payday loans. What has happened is so many people are ending up with their credit ruined, ending up in bankruptcy, because what they've done too often is to get one of these loans at $500 or $800 and then not have the ability to pay it back. And so they go and get another loan and a loan after that and so forth. So they end up with multiple loans that end up ruining their credit. And that's not an isolated situation. I represent the central city of Columbus, Ohio, and I have had countless calls, letters, visits around this topic. I'm not dealing with it as I typically do not deal with these issues from an academic or a legislative or legal perspective. I'm dealing with it straightforward in terms of what my constituents are bringing to me, and I can tell you with absolute certainty that it's having a negative impact on them.
So, Senator Miller, they're basically, even though the interest rates are capped at 28%, these companies are finding other ways around that. They are charging origination fees. They are charging membership fees in some cases,
right,
issuing the loan as a check and then charging the person to cash the check. And that's what this legislation would do. It would close those, whether you call them loopholes or
exactly,
other forms of business, whatever you how you want to call them. That's what this legislation would do.
Yeah, we believe that the 28% is sufficient for these businesses to continue to exist. Obviously, they fill an important void within our community. But tacking on all of these various charges is just to make profit. The 3% check cashing fee for cashing their own check, you know, what kind of sense does that make? You talked about the loan origination fees. You know, simply capping that in 90 days on loans of $1,000 or less. These things are all reasonable, have been thought out, and make a lot of sense.
We're talking about payday lending issue on All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU. I'm Mike Thompson sitting in for Ann today, 292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Senator Miller, the folks who are taking out these loans are generally low-income folks, higher risk loan or higher risk borrowers. If you place too many restrictions on these companies, do away with too many fees, don't you run the risk of those companies going out of business completely and then those folks not having any access to credit?
Well, they've shown their ingenuity. They haven't left the state of Ohio. They talked about all of these businesses closing and all of these businesses having to leave the state. They just found another way to generate the profits that are necessary to stay in business. I would like to see our banks provide loans that are not collateralized for low-income people, short-term loans, so that we don't have this industry that has some deficits. I mean, just to be real honest about it, I mean, this is not the most upstanding industry that we have in our state. They have not been since they were initially established. As I mentioned, they started off cashing checks, not issuing loans, just cashing checks. And they were cashing these checks at whatever fee they chose to put on it. And I got into this issue because there was one of my constituents who said they charged me $80 to cash a check. I'm like, my gracious, $80 to cash a check. And they took a 10% off of an $800 check. It was ridiculous. And so I capped the fees that could be charged back in 1992. And that was an incredible struggle against that industry, who had the same lobbyist that they have today, Daryl Deaver, and And also, the banking industry was working against me at the same time. So they didn't want these constituents, these consumers either, because they are, quote unquote, unbanked. They don't have bank accounts.
State Rep. Bill Coley, what's a reasonable charge for these types of customers?
I don't know what the I don't think I understand. Each customer is an individual. You know, Senator Miller may want to turn his back on people with limited means. I choose not to. You know, to the extent that you know, Senator Miller is doubting whether these people will be out of business, as he correctly points out, when we told them 2-3 years ago that you're not going to be able to stay in business, they're not in business anymore. They went and migrated to the loan area where we told them to. We had professors from, you know, we had a professor from Ohio State University come in and testify, and he was very clear that under this economic model, they will not stay in business. In fact, my colleague from Lorain County, Joe Kazura, Joe was quite blunt. Joe said he wants them out of business, and that's why he was voting for this bill. I mean, so I don't want to turn my back on people of limited means to say, even though it makes economic sense to pay $16 to $27 to a Small Loan Act lender to avoid $85 in fees to your bank in the state of Ohio, we're not going to allow you. You got to pay the $85. So that seems to me to be wrong.
But is it not a backdoor if you cap the interest rate at 28%? I know you told them, and that's a way to do it, but then if you're charging for the checks to be cashed – it's money's money, whether it's interest rates or it's fees.
Right. So money's – you're right, Mike. Money's money. So instead of them paying $16 to a Small Loan Act lender, we're going to have them pay $85 to their bank in the state. That doesn't seem to me to be right. And I think that we ought to stand up for people of limited means and not abandon them, as Senator Miller and the proponents of this bill want to do.
Senator Miller – haven't the banks stepped up?
I'm very pleased to hear the representative. Things are such these days, and I've been a member of the General Assembly for 25 years now, that you just don't have as much interaction with the members of the House. So I don't know Representative Coley that well, but I am pleased to hear him say that he's going to be a strong advocate, or has been a very strong advocate, for low-income people. If he knows anything about my history, it is absolutely without question that I've always been a strong advocate for low-income people. I represent one of the poorer districts in the state of Ohio, and that's why I've supported the legislation that would close these loopholes to stop people from being ripped off by an industry that is more concerned about making profits than they are providing services to consumers. I am not taking up for the banks at all. I think the banks have abandoned these low-income people as well. And if we want to look at charging or reducing the fees from the banks, if the representative would like to join me in doing that, I think we might be able to make some progress. I have worked very closely with Representative Batchelder, who is the leader of the Republican caucus in the House of Representatives. Representative Bill Batchelder and I go back years as friends. We went to Cleveland to deal with this issue with the City Club there, and was well received by those who represent low-income people on these issues. If it was such a good thing, why does it have so much opposition?
Let's take a break. We're talking about payday lending here on All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mike Thompson, sitting in for Ann. We'll take a look at the banks, mainstream banks' role in all of this when we return on All Sides on WOSU 820.
Get the latest information from WOSU the way you want it, daily, biweekly, or monthly. Go to WOSU.org/email and sign up for one of our e-newsletters. And WOSU Public Media presents the Columbus Metropolitan Club's Wednesday Forum. Wednesday at noon, Ohio Attorney General Richard Cordray discusses consumer advocacy and taking on Wall Street. Visit ColumbusMetroClub.org for tickets and more information. And it's 77 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:20 this morning. Sunshine today and a high of 85 degrees. Clear skies tonight and a low of 62 degrees. Sunny tomorrow and a high of 83. And looking ahead to Wednesday, sunshine and a high of 85. All Sides with Ann Fisher with guest host Mike Thompson continues on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides on WOASU. I'm Mike Thompson sitting in for Ann Fisher today. Our topic, payday lending. The new legislation working its way through the state legislature would close some loopholes in the voter-approved legislation from 2008 that capped interest rates that payday lenders were allowed to charge. Their banks and lenders, these companies are charging fees and things like that, legal under Ohio law, critics say are basically thwarting the efforts to cap the interest rates and keep the rates low for payday borrowers. Let me ask a question again, Ray Miller. Is the situation better now than it was in 2008 as far as the cost of borrowing money for the folks who use payday lenders? Are they paying less fees and interest combined than they were 2 years ago?
Probably not. I think with all of the add-ons that the industry has come up with, the origination fees, the 3% check cashing fee for cashing a check that the lender has provided to the consumer, which is one of the more ridiculous things I've ever heard. I think with all of the fees that have been added on, the overall interest rate is still averaging about 391% annualized.
What do you think? Do you think the situation has improved in 2 years?
Geez, golly, Ray, I was a little confused. 3% sounded bad. I thought the federal government taking 4% when they lend money to student loans, and they take 4% off the top. So, no, I think, Mike, the model has changed in Ohio drastically, and as the good senator had indicated, he wants to work with people on both sides of the aisle. I think Representative Hackett and a member of the Republican caucus in the House, and Representative Lucky, a member of the Democrat caucus in the House, had a great idea and weren't allowed to pursue their idea in the bill. Is coming up with a new lending model. Before we put the existing lenders out of business, we come up with a new model that makes sense and puts them on par with banks as far as rates and fees and all that kind of stuff. So I would hope the senator would work with Representatives Hackett and Lucky and see if the Senate decides to move this legislation, that they move it in that direction, not in the terrible direction that of what the House passed.
Is it possible, Representative Coley, to create a new model without the stick? I mean, without forcing change through cutting off one supply of revenue, can you convince banks or lenders to change their practices without forcing them to?
Well, by golly, I hope banks do not step into this area. This is not the lending area for banks. This is not what banks are set up to do. You know, the last time we had legislators in Washington dictating to banks how to make home loans, we walked into a heck of a mess. So, I hope the banks stick to their line of business, that credit unions and small loan act lenders, step in and fill this void. We were promised in 07 and 08 that the credit unions were going to come flocking into this industry where the payday lenders, when they were in business, we were putting them out of business. The credit unions were going to fill the void. We have not seen that happen in Ohio, and it's a shame because this is more in the line of what a credit union does than a bank. So I would hope that the credit unions and would step in, and then we create this model along the lines with something that Representatives Hackett and Lucky were working on that would allow small loan act lenders to continue to stay in business in Ohio. But I keep coming back to the fact, and Senator Miller doesn't deny, that versus paying $85 in bounce check fees, paying $16 is an economic reality. And while there may be somebody out there misusing this and getting in trouble, until we have a alternative for people of limited means, I think it is turning their back on people of limited means to put these people out of business until they have an alternative. And that's why I think this bill is wrongheaded.
Senator Miller, about the fees, I mean, let's just look at not even the bounce check fees, but to get overdraft protection at your bank, it costs basically $25 a year. And then if you use it, say you accidentally or perhaps because of your income situation, overdraw your checking account, you get whacked with a fee each time you do it. So, your grocery bill gets a $40 charge if you do it at the grocery store, or an extra rent check. The rent check gets an extra $40 charge if you overdraw your account. Is that any different than what payday lenders are doing?
I think it's terrible, and I think we're talking about two different classes of people. The individuals who are going to the check cashing centers tend to be unbanked. I mean, they don't have a bank account at all. The people who are getting hit with all of these late charges and so forth, oftentimes the middle income people who are suffering in this economy, like so many others, like the banks at the federal level, like the insurance company, like the auto dealers, and all of those kinds of people that got bailed out. Unfortunately, the individuals are not being bailed out. I agree with the representative Coley that this is an area for our credit unions to step in, and some of them have, and many of them have. I have a list of them throughout the state of Ohio, Midstate, and Columbus, and STE Credit Union, Western CEU in Delaware.
Have there been enough of those stories, Senator? Have enough credit unions and other institutions stepped up?
I think one of the problems is marketing, like it is with so many things, making the public aware that we have credit unions that are offering products that are comparable, that are in fact much better than what's being offered by payday lenders. And then we have banks such as Fifth Third's Access Now program, Wells Fargo Direct Deposit Advance Service, U.S. Bank's Checking Account Advance. And so some of the banks, not all of them, but some of the banks are starting to recognize that there's a market here, number one. there's a market, and that they have a responsibility to provide loans to individuals who are at the lower economic end. We simply don't want to rip people off. We don't want to put people in a situation where their credit is further damaged, whether they have bill collectors calling their homes every day, whether they're forced into where they're forced into bankruptcy. That's the result of these loans that individuals go out and get. They'll get one and they'll get another to try to pay off the first one, and they can't, and then they'll get a third and so forth. They go all over town getting these payday loans and end up in awful debt. It's just a cycle of debt that they end up in.
We're speaking about payday lending in Ohio after the voters approved caps on interest rates, and now legislation pending before lawmakers that would eliminate or reduce some fees that similar companies are charging. An email from Hal, he writes, why can't a small business make it at a 20% rate of return or 20% interest rate? Representative Coley, why can't businesses make money charging 28% interest?
Well, if they charge 28% interest, they make $28 per year for every $100 they lend out, assuming they have 100% collection rate, that everybody pays their bill. But of course, in this area of lending, it's a high risk scenario. That's why when I said that I hope that banks don't step into this willy-nilly, is because it is a very risky area to lend money in, and it's people of limited means. There are inherent risks in that, and when you factor all that in, a 28% fee when you're dealing with a high percentage of delinquencies and defaults, that's why they need additional fees in addition to the 28% interest.
Do you know what the collection rate is?
I think the overall delinquency default rate is somewhere in the 10% range. So for every $100 they lend out, $10 just walks out the door. Mm-hmm. I think it's in that ballpark is what we heard in testimony. But you know, the great thing, and we talked about free markets and marketing. You know, these prices have not been set by the state of Ohio. They've been set by the free market. We had, in fact, had testimony where a young small businessman was starting his business down towards my district, and he was lending money, and he had to drop his rates. He started his business at the state maximums, and he had to drop his rates because the place down the street was charging less. And the free market, you know, contrary to what the senator was saying, we don't set the price. The free market sets the price, and the free market said it was less than the state maximum. So, you know, if we let the market run, the rates will find their equilibrium, and everybody will benefit.
Senator Miller, nobody's forcing folks to take out payday loans. This is free market, free will. How do you respond to that?
People need money, and people are living paycheck to paycheck. Anybody who's going to get a $500 loan, a pay advance, on their next check that's coming up is in dire need. And, there's no question that there's a need for the loan that people are trying to get. It's just that these aren't reputable businesses that are operating in their best interest. There are other services that they offer as well. I mean, very few of these businesses. I've not been in one of them in a long time. I went in to do my research just to see what kind of fees were being charged myself. I mean, I just wanted to find out exactly how they operated. They offer multiple services, so it's just not the check cashing fee that they're living off of. There are a number of other things, including selling the lottery. So people will cash their check and then try to survive by buying lottery tickets right there on the spot. It's a shame.
292-8513. If you'd like to join in our conversation, we're speaking about payday lending in Ohio with two members of the Ohio State Legislature. 292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. Senator Miller, do you have constituents who support you on most issues, but say, you know what, I oppose you on this one. We, as much as we don't like paying these rates, we need these payday lenders. Have you heard from folks in your district who say?
You know, I really have not. I've heard from colleagues. I've heard from colleagues who tell me that they have heard from constituents who say that they want these services. Well, no, let me correct that. There was a forum here in Columbus over at a church. A Good Shepherd Baptist Church on Hudson, and the industry orchestrated a lot of things. They even had people in T-shirts supporting their payday loan establishments. So I'm not sure, how honest it was, but there were individuals who were there saying that they needed the services. And no doubt there are some people who would speak up on, on their behalf and say that there's a need. I would just like to see them go to more legitimate establishments like the banks, like the savings and loan and the credit unions and so forth.
Bill Coley, you've talked to folks who you call this discrimination against folks of limited means.
Absolutely.
You think there are folks who aren't, or this is not orchestrated by the banks in your mind?
No. I
mean, the lenders.
You know, look, we've met people across the state. Hugely, Southeast Ohio, Central Ohio, Columbus. If the senator would like me to introduce him to consumers of these establishments from the senator's district, I'd be glad to do that. But the point here is, I think it just defies logic to think that the senator wants to focus on the people who get the small percentage of people that get I think he said trapped in the cycle of debt and can't pay their bills. These businesses can't stay open unless people pay their bills. So obviously, if the businesses are open, it's because people are paying their bills and they're wisely using this credit. They're not making money on people who don't pay them. So there's a ton of people in this state that like having this option. They like having it available to them. They like having it in their neighborhood to fill an emergency need that they have, and that's what they utilize it for.
Bill Coley, are there a lot of people who are paying just part of their bills, and that's why they're able to stay above water, but on the other side they're getting deeper in debt, and they never get ahead? I think that's what the argument against these – not that they're not paying all of their bills. They're only paying half of their bills, and then the interest rate keeps building and building and building, and then before you know it, they're trapped.
Well, see, that's not the testimony we heard in the House. What we heard is that, if you took the most – you picked the largest number of people that utilize these loans – take out one a year. If you take the total average of everybody, it works out to five or six a year. So if that was the scenario, that it was just a continuing economic death spiral for them, then we would see these loans being used 24 times a year, which is not the testimony that we heard in the House on this bill. So, I think the vast majority of people are wisely using these to fill an emergency need. And again, the senator he doesn't contradict what I'm saying in the sense that there are times that these things make economic sense versus paying a $35 bounce check fee and a $50 bounce check fee to the state for a total of $85. I can pay $16 or $27, depending on which facility I go to, to go get that loan. That's economic reality. You know, to listen to legislators pontificate about what's in the best interest of their citizens, you know, unless you're similarly situated, a single parent of limited means, you can't hold a candle to these people and an ability to balance a bank book and keep all those balls in the air. These people are amazing people, and they have my undying respect at their ability to keep everything moving. And to take that option away from them because we piously here in the legislature think, oh, we don't like the rate. I think it's the height of arrogance, and I think it's wrong.
Well, I think that's cute, what you just said. If you knew anything about me and if you knew anything about my district, you wouldn't pontificate in that manner. And I don't want to personalize this at all because I always stay focused on the needs of my constituents. But you really should do some research before you start talking about piousness and legislators who are out of touch with their constituents. I am more in touch with my constituents probably than any member in the General Assembly. I live in the community, right? I am there on a daily basis. I am talking with my constituents regularly, and I know the negative impact of these establishments. So this is not hypothetical, Representative. This is, in fact, what is taking place. And we could, if there's someone that you know who thinks this is such a great business line, I'd like to redirect them and let them know of some other opportunities where the profit margin may even be greater for them, and they could be more legitimate. These are businesses that many people obviously want to see curtailed. The voters of the state of Ohio, not within my district only, but in the entire state of Ohio, said that we should cap these interest rates at 28% on an annualized basis. I am not about to contradict the views and opinions and, in fact, the mandate of the people of the state of Ohio.
Let's take a break. We'll take a look at some of these long-term solutions when we return on All Sides on WOSU 820.
I don't think Bauer's just looking to expose the Russians' involvement in the plot against his son. This guy's out for blood.
Time has run out for Jack Bauer, the hero of Fox TV's 24. Monday is the final episode. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with the show's executive producer, Howard Gordon. Join us.
Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. Hear more from WOSU anytime at WOSU.org. Listen to All Sides with Ann Fisher whenever you want with the online archive. Podcast new and archive shows from all the guests and topics. Podcast All Sides at WOSU.org/All Sides. Sunday night at 8, WOSU-TV presents the annual broadcast of the National Memorial Day Concert live from the West Lawn of the U.S. Capitol. The event honors the service and sacrifice of men and women in uniform, their families at home, and all those who have given their lives for our country. Hosted by Gary Sinise, the evening includes an all-star lineup of dignitaries, actors, and musical artists. Join the celebration Sunday night at 8 on WOSU-TV. 77 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:40 this morning. Sunshine today, a high of 85. Clear skies tonight, a low of 62 degrees. More sunshine for tomorrow and a high of 83. All Sides with Ann Fisher with guest host Mike Thompson continues on WOSU 820 NPR News. Thanks for joining us.
We're discussing payday lending on All Sides with Ann Fisher. I'm Mike Thompson sitting in for Ann today on WOSU 820. Our guest, State Representative Bill Coley of Westchester. He's a Republican from the suburban Cincinnati district, and also Democratic State Senator Ray Miller from Columbus. They're on opposite sides of the payday lending issue. An email from Robert. He says, usury was originally defined as charging any interest at all. We've come a long way since then. Robert continues to write, in his view, it has been a long, immoral path. He says, aside from the ideological arguments, do proponents have a moral defense? Bill Coley, is this a moral business that these payday lenders or check cashing companies are involved in?
Boy, I guess the writer thinks it's more moral to turn your back on someone who you know, who's in that spot. I think it's a very moral business. Making credit available to people of limited means is a very moral and righteous thing to do.
I think he's looking more at the morality of the high interest rates and the high fees rather than making credit available.
You know, let me correct something. Senator Miller, I don't think, would deny that no one's charging more than 28% interest in the state of Ohio. It's just when they try to, you know, because they charge a fee for an application fee or something like that, that the senator is saying, well, if we add that into into the total amount of interest added, then we'll come up and we'll recalculate the APR. But I asked the senator, then if that's immoral to pay the $16 fee to the check casher on the $200 loan, then how is it moral for the state of Ohio to charge $50 for a month's check fee and then $35 more from the bank, and thus that person of limited means is left paying $85 versus $16 to $27. I think the much more moral position is to make sure that credit is available. And until we have a better model that allows credit to be extended at a lower rate and still be economically feasible, I don't think that we should put these people out of business.
Senator Miller, how about that? Bounce check fees, overdraft fees. What have we done to regulate those? Is it comparable to what payday lenders are doing?
I certainly wouldn't mind regulating those as well. But what the payday lenders have done is underhanded. I mean, after the voters decided that it should be a 28% cap, then the payday lenders just tacked on, as we talked about earlier, a number of additional fees, the 3% check cashing fee for cashing their own checks that they issued, the origination fee or credit check fee more than once in 90 days on loans of $1,000 or less. We put that kind of constraint in there to keep them from charging these multiple fees to individuals and forcing them deeper and deeper in debt and further ruining their credit. That's the immorality of the whole thing. And I think that the question that the writer, that the caller asked, is a very good one on usury. And that's the issue that we've been dealing with for years now. Finally, we have the legislature acting on behalf, acting in the best interest of the people. And those who are supporting that industry are now alarmed. And so I'm a bit suspect at any legislator, just a bit suspect, not accusatory, but I'm a little suspect of any legislator who runs to the defense of the payday lending industry.
Let's go to the phones. Randy, you're on the air on WOSU
820. Yeah, I'd have to agree with Senator Miller's last comment about I am very suspect of any legislator who supports the leeches of the payday lending industry, somebody is getting money. It is a billion-dollar industry that there's have been employed thousands and thousands of people to just suck the blood out of the poor. I am a teller at a credit union. I see the damage done. On Saturday, I had somebody come through was making their rounds of their payday lenders and coming in and cashing the checks and then going on to the next lender to pay that person off and re-get the loan and then go to another one and come back, cash the check to take the money to another one. And it's a cycle that far, far, far too many people are sucked into, and it has to be stopped one way or another.
Okay, thanks for the call, Randy.
For the good of the people.
Thanks for the call. State Rep. Bill Coley, let's talk about this 3% check cashing fee. I assume that the check cashing companies charge a fee to cash the check to balance the risk that the check is bad. But if the check cashing company is reissuing the check and then charging as a fee to cash their own check, isn't that dubious?
Well, two things. First, Mike, I just want to say, I'm standing up for people of limited means. I'm standing up for the single parents out there that are trying to make ends meet, and the legislature wants to take away an option for them. So, you know, if you want to classify that as standing up for check cashing, that you can classify it any way you want. But I'm standing up for people of limited means. Now, relative to your question, the 3% fee, my understanding is, first and foremost, the federal government student loan program takes 4% of the amount at the time of disbursement. They don't even cash the check. They deduct 4% of the loan amount and then give you a check for 96% of the loan amount. And then you're left to your own devices to cash that. You know, so the 3% fee, my understanding is, to the extent that, A, that the marketplace has dictated that, I think most of the credit or the check cashing services around there are charging $10, just a flat $10. But the 3% fee, they're going into a separate line with separate disclosures and doing all that, and it's more of a convenience fee. And I think the testimony we heard was around a third or less than a third of the people that get a loan also engage in the check cashing fee.
But what's the profit margin on that fee, that when they charge a fee to cash their own checks? It's going to be pretty high.
Well, I mean, again, it's a convenience item. You know, is it better for that person to have to then go drive to the bank ATM machine and go find their own bank so they don't get charged the $1.50 fee to use the ATM or whatever the local fee is to use the ATM? You know, it's a convenience that they offer. Now, it's not mandatory. They do not have to do it. Some of them decide to do it, but it's only with full disclosure. And I don't think if this was the only thing that part of the legislation, I don't think we'd all be so passionate about the legislation. But there's a number of other aspects of the legislation that'll render these businesses out of business more so than the check cashing.
Senator Ray Miller, you mentioned that the folks who are using these payday lenders are the unbanked folks.
Yes.
Who do not have traditional bank accounts. How do we get those folks traditional bank accounts? Can we get the unbanked into banks?
I think we can. It'll take the Bankers Association, a number of the larger banks within our city and throughout the state, to recognize that they have a responsibility. One of the callers raised the moral issue, and I think that that's an appropriate word to talk about here, is having some moral responsibility to assist those who are, low income and locked out of the traditional banking establishments. The representative, I don't like to, get into personal situations, but I just have a question of Representative Coley, a very honest question, because I don't know. I do know that Butler County, where you represent, is one of the wealthier counties in the state of Ohio, and I know every part of the county is not wealthy, but overall, Butler County is one of the wealthier counties. And also, in your bio, you state that you represent a number of small and large businesses as a lawyer for Retzel and Andrus. I don't represent small businesses. I am not an attorney. I represent the people of the state of Ohio, and certainly within the city of Columbus and the inner city of the city of Columbus in particular. So my question to the representative, honestly, not accusatory, is, are any of the small businesses that you represent payday lenders?
Up to this point, no. I have not represented payday lenders. In my career, I've worked at law firms, and other people in law firms that I work for represent people, but my client list wasn't a payday lender oriented practice. I've represented a lot of financial institutions over my career, Ray, and it's important. But
you said up to this point. Why would you qualify it with up to this point?
Well, I get new clients all the time, and I may in the very near future, get approached by someone. I don't want any corporations out there that happen to own payday lending businesses think that I would refuse to represent them, because I don't think I would.
But all right. We'll check the forums in a couple of years and see what the client lists are and everything else. Let's go back to the phones. Pat, you're on the air. Go ahead, Pat. You're on all sides.
Yes, I think what the public is incensed about, and I'm really for Ray Miller on this one, is the fact that we pass legislation, and then these payday lenders, and I don't want to hear about the student loan program, and I don't want to hear fiddle playing about the poor people. The truth of the matter is they have found a way to circumvent the law. They have put on extra fees, and if they all go out of business, it wouldn't bother me at all, because I just got on the Internet, and I'm finding that you can have these, there are page after page after page, all of these payday lenders are now on the Internet. You don't even have to go to a local business to get a loan. You can get one, and it says online, no credit check available, online approval. I can't see, and it says that a lot of people are doing this now. They're getting their payday loans or whatever over the Internet, and you can find out exactly what you're paying in fees and what the interest is, et cetera, et cetera. So I guess, as I say, and I agree, I think it's a shame. I do think it's a cycle of debt. And we had a program on this before, and the payday lender said, they said, well, what is the average, do you think, that people come into your business a year? And they said about 8 times a year is what this payday loan person testified to. So anyhow, as I say, I am with Ray Miller. I would vote for him, and I would vote against anybody that is representing the other side. So that's my comment.
Okay. Thanks very much, Pat.
And she brings up a good point, Mike, because if you want to allow loans made by, you know, under the laws of Costa Rica or Ecuador or offshore countries where these online businesses are flocking to, then passing this legislation that's being embraced by Senator Miller, that's the way to do it, because you're going to drive good, hardworking people in the state of Ohio out of business and leave the single parents and people of limited means with the only option being borrowing money under the laws of Costa Rica.
Senator Miller, if this passes, if the House approved restrictions on fees passes, won't payday lenders find another way to make money?
I certainly hope not. You know, we're trying to write this bill as tight as we possibly can, and I would like to commend the sponsors of the bill over in the House, Representative Matt Lundy and Gerald Stebbleton. It has bipartisan support. I mean, there are 61 Democrats who supported, 37 Republicans essentially who opposed. There were a few Democrats in there as well. But it's a bipartisan piece of legislation, and it has been redrafted now. You know, we had a bill, and then it was further ratified by the voters throughout the state of Ohio, and then we had to close these loopholes, as the last caller said, that the payday lending industry had found ways to circumvent the law.
But why weren't those loopholes closed for the law or the bill that went before the voters? And what's to guarantee that it's not going to happen? Because I assume that people thought that was a good bill and a good measure.
Well, I thought it was as well. As a member of the General Assembly, I thought that we had done what was right. But the industry was more creative and agile than we thought that they were. And so they found ways to get around the law that had been enacted and the mandate from the public.
Email from Sherry. She writes, I don't agree with the legislature focusing on payday lenders without also focusing on banks. She writes, as a solidly middle-class person who has been hit with multiple bank overdraft fees over the course of one weekend, totaling hundreds of dollars, I would much rather use a payday lender than risk the bank fees. Representative Coley, would you support limiting overdraft fees and other fees that you've spoken against during this program?
You know, First and foremost, national banks, we don't have the ability in the state of Ohio to regulate. The vast majority, as far as deposit base in the state, is with national banks, not state-chartered banks. And, in fact, so our ability to regulate bank fees and stuff is very limited. But, again, you let the market run the model. And we've got a number of bank failures every Friday. You can go and check with the FDIC and find the number of banks that have gone out of business in the United States each week. Every time the legislature steps in to quote-unquote help people, it seems like we're creating more problems than we're solving. I believe that what we ought to do is let the market operate, let the good banks operate and continue to extend credit where they can, and let the banks set their own models and let competition take place and let people move amongst the various banks till they find one that they're satisfied with and charges fees that are appropriate for their needs.
Senator Miller.
Yes.
Respond to that one.
Well, I think the bottom line is oftentimes government has to step in and prevent people from hurting themselves further and also providing alternatives for them. There are a lot of people who would like to have crack cocaine all day, every day, but the government has to step in and try to stop them from doing that, as opposed to simply saying they ought to have free will. And in this instance, there are individuals who are hurting themselves by getting these loans over and over again. Their credit is being ruined. They're being forced into collection agencies and then bankruptcy. And it's just a very vicious, serious cycle of debt.
Senator, is the solution, I mean, it's very difficult, but financial literacy and teaching folks how to manage their money better. I mean, if you lose your job, you lose your job. No amount of financial literacy is going to help you in that situation. But is that more government's role than regulating the market to an extreme?
I think financial literacy is critically important, and I don't think that the government will ever be able to do the kind of job that's necessary. I think that's where our credit unions, our savings and loans, our nonprofit organizations can step in. Our churches can absolutely step in and help out with financial literacy. I'm very fortunate, even though I grew up in the central city of Columbus, Ohio, I had a leader, almost like a gang leader within our community, who directed us towards investing. And so my literacy came from that, as opposed to from any kind of program or from the government. But I do not believe that the government will be able to provide the kind of financial literacy that's necessary. I do think that's an area for nonprofits and for our churches and for our credit unions and so forth to step in.
Representative Bill Coley is mandating that payday lenders do some kind of financial literacy training. Is that part of the solution, perhaps?
I mean, we can do that, and a number of them already do that. You know, as the senator pointed out, you know, some of the groups, there are religious groups, and that's why I was so proud to see so many African-American church leaders throughout Central Ohio come in to the House and testify against this piece of legislation. Members of the NAACP testifying against this legislation. Members of the Teamsters testifying against this legislation. It's important that we give people options. And as I said before, a single mother, a single father who is raising a family and managing to keep the kids moving along and keep all the bills paying, that person ought to be giving a course on financial literacy and not be subject to some mandatory course that we require here from the legislature. I think that to the extent that you listen and you acknowledge, you can't deny that there are times that this makes economic sense. And yet your only answer is, well, somebody might get in trouble, somebody might be in a cycle of debt, so we have to ban it. I think that is just wrong. It's just flat out wrong.
Okay, we're out of time. Thanks very much to Bill Coley, State Representative from Westchester, and State Senator Ray Miller from Columbus as we debated payday lending, the good, the bad, and what should be done about it. Ann Fisher is back tomorrow. I'm Mike Thompson. This has been All Sides on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Support for WOSU comes from the Columbus Zoo and Aquarium's lecture series presenting Bird is the Word, featuring nature writer and birdology author Cy Montgomery, May 26th at the Grange Insurance Audubon Center. More at columbuszoo.org.